All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did you ever wonder why that some people understand and some people just don't? Some people just never do. And you wonder, how can two people grow up in the same home, you know, say among the same siblings, and some of them know the Lord and some of them don't? Ever. They never know the Lord. Same, you know, group of people can hear the same preaching. You know, same preaching, same messages, sat in the same Sunday school class. And some of them understand and some of them never do. You ever wonder about that? Why? Well, there's a reason, and I think we can look at it here tonight. Let's read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 12, and we read through 18. Bible says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. There's a key to understanding, and it's Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, that's the Old Testament, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So one of the great differences between the Old Testament and the New Covenant is the absence of the veil in the New. The Old Testament was covered, veiled, and it was hard for them to understand. A veil is a covering. It's a thing used to hide something from view. A veil, that's what it is. It covers. A lot of women, you know, and the Mennonites and others, and some of these hybrid Baptist, Mennonite, Amish, Mormon, Jehovah Witness, whatever they are. I mean, you know, you got all kinds of crossbreeding between the religions now, and they come up with all of these different kinds of people. Well, a lot of them, the women wear head coverings, they call them. And, you know, I'm kind of with Mike Pearl said that some of the most rebellious women he ever met in his life wore head coverings. They do it as a sign of submission, supposedly, but he's right. Man, just because you put a veil on your head don't mean you ain't a heifer, let me tell you. It's true. But that's the purpose, covering. Head covering. The face of Moses was veiled as a sign or symbol of what the situation concerning the law of God would be to the Jews from then on. Moses come down off of the mountain and his face was veiled. So they couldn't see the glory. And it was just a symbol of the way it's going to be. Because these people, with their hard-headedness, and their rejection of the truth. Now, that's the reason Christ unlocks the whole thing. I mean, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see. You can't understand. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. Well, it was a picture of this. When you're in Christ, through Christ, when you get to know Christ, then it all opens up to you. But until you do, you just don't understand. It's just religion to you. It's a bunch of sacrifices and a bunch of rituals and a bunch of religious stuff. But you never know really what it's all about. And you never understand. And it never comes alive to you. The only way that happens is coming to know the Lord Christ. A veil is thrown over the Old Testament when they read it. We just read that in the scripture there. Just as a veil was thrown over the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain and tried to reveal to them what God had said. until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Now their minds were blinded because of the hardness of their hearts. Now, God doesn't just choose arbitrarily who understands and who doesn't. You know, the Calvinists believe that God just picks and chooses, and if he picks you, you're going to understand. Now, that's all there is to it. Well, there's a little more to that. You know, I'm willing to acknowledge that God is the giver of life, and all light comes from God, and God's the initiator of it all. Yes, if he didn't call, but he calls. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, not just to some. Some receive it, some reject it. Some obey, some disobey. And that's the way it is. And there's where we part company, see, with the Calvinists, because it just cannot be that way. That some are just doomed to hell because they weren't chosen. And God just arbitrarily didn't choose them. I can't never believe that. Whosoever will may call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever will may come. And so, the veil. And their minds were blinded because of the hardness of their hearts. And if you're here tonight and you never do understand, it's because of the hardness of your heart. You just don't care enough to find out. And it'll be the doom of your soul. They could never get past their selfishness and unbelief. I'm talking about Israel now. And were therefore never able to understand. Isn't that sad? As a whole, they never understood. Israel as a nation never understood. They got so close. They were in the presence of God. They had the presence of God. They had leaders who knew God, who had the Spirit of God on them. I mean, there were times when it was wonderful. And yet as a whole, they didn't know God and they didn't understand what was going on. They just appreciated the goodness of everything. They enjoyed the blessings, but they weren't partakers. And so they never did understand as a whole what the Scriptures were about. Y'all get that? Israel, we talk about Israel. Don't get the idea, because it's wrong, that Israel was all about God. No, there were just a few in Israel that understood. Always were just a few. I mean, there was a long time period where they were really a theocracy and God was ruled through the judges and kings and different things like that. But it was only a few of the people that really knew the Lord. It's always been that way. It's that way now. I don't care how big the churches may get, there's always going to be a few. You shouldn't get discouraged because of the few at church, because if you could see these great big churches, how many people that really know the Lord, you'd see the same thing. It'd be a little bitty crowd. I promise you. I promise you that's the way it is. Because most people do not understand. They're veiled. I mean, it's veiled to them. They can't see through it. Because they don't know Christ. They don't know Jesus. They think of Jesus as something that he's not. They call him Jesus and they imagine all kinds of things about him, but he's that picture, that long-haired picture. You know, that's what Jesus is to most people. It's true of anyone. You know, let me drop this in here. We was reading the other morning and I was studying about this. I think we got a wrong idea about Jesus. Most people do. I know that's true. And I think all of us are lacking in our real understanding of what he's like. We were just reading Revelation. John, who knew Jesus better than anyone. He was the one that laid in his bosom. He was the one Jesus revealed to him who it was that would betray him, because he was close enough. I mean, John was the beloved disciple. And yet, when he was on the island of Patmos and Jesus appeared to him, he fell on his face. He didn't run to his bosom and say, "Oh, Jesus, I've been waiting to see you." No. He who Jesus loved, who was so close to him when he walked this earth, when he saw him glorified, because he is glorified now. He's not like the blood-stained Jesus that walked the earth here. He's glorified. And when John saw him, he fell at his feet as dead. I mean, he was scared to death. And I don't believe we're going to go dancing into heaven and into his arms and, you know, embrace. And all. This idea is all wrong. It's a misrepresentation of what he is really like. And it comes from people who are looking through a veil. Better really know him. Better really know him. People used to have a fear of God because they knew him. There's not much fear of God anymore because people don't know him. They've lowered him down to he's just like us. He's just a wonderful thing, and he's just so loving and kind, and it's all about this human love and exhibitions of affection and all of that. And it's not like that with him. They could never get past their selfishness and their unbelief, and as a whole, they never could understand. And that's true of anyone, Jew or Gentile, who will not believe and submit to God simply on the grounds of who Jesus is. Anybody, Jew or Gentile, you won't submit to God because of who Jesus is, you're never going to understand. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. He that confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, you know, he hath life. He's the one that believes. He's the real deal. If he confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, and that's more than just saying it with your mouth. You understand? They couldn't steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, it says. They couldn't look to the end of the law. They couldn't see that it was all about Christ and it all pointed to him as the end of the law. They didn't understand where this thing was going. Now, a few people did. I believe people like Moses and Abraham and David and some of the others, I believe they really had a view. But as a whole, the people didn't. It was veiled. Y'all understand this? That it had a veil over don't mean that nobody understood. Yeah, there were people who understood. But very few. And it was hard for the rest of the people. They just couldn't. The revelation of God, I say this to you often, but as you come all the way through the history of man and God's creation here, the revelation of God is a progressive thing, and it gets better and clearer with each dispensation so that we can understand clearly. We understand so much clearer than they did back then. They couldn't look to the end of the law. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now they couldn't see to the end of the law. They couldn't see Christ. He's the end of the law. They couldn't see that. They couldn't see where it was going. They just saw a bunch of rituals and religious stuff. This is what we do to worship. That's all they seen. They had no wisdom and no understanding to see that all this meant something and it was pointing to something and it all had significance. I really wanted to preach tonight on Leviticus, and I didn't have time to study enough to get it down. But it's about that peace offering and eating on the third day. You know, if you eat it on the third day, it's severe penalty. Well, the third day means something. They didn't understand it back then. They didn't have any idea. A few of them did. They read the scriptures, and they noticed that come up a lot. The third day, the third day, the third day. But anyway, Christ is the end of the law. To the ordinary Jew, to the ordinary Jewish spiritual leader, the law was the end in itself. And the keeping of the law was the only means of being justified with God. That's why it was so hard to keep it out of the church. And it still is. We got people in 2020 here still trying to bring the law back into the church and keep the law. And if you don't keep the law, they think they're more spiritual than everybody else. They've discovered something after 2,000 years that the church missed all them hundreds and thousands of years. They missed it. We found it. Yeah, we've got to keep the law. Got to do this. Got to observe holy days. And we got to do this. And that, blah, 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 blah. Nope. Christ is the end of the law. You know Christ, you'll understand some things. The reason people get so messed up and all that is because they don't know Christ. Now that's a fact. And that's the answer. Don't be so confused about people. Don't be so confused about your loved ones. Don't be confused about yourself. If you just don't understand, it's because you don't know Him. Yep. If any man will do His will, he'll know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. I mean, you'll understand. There's not a great deal of difference in their religion, the Jews' religion, and that of the Muslims, really. Because it simply consisted of laws and penalties. To the normal Jew, to the mass of the people, that's what it meant. To the religious leaders, that's what it meant. Look at the religious leaders that were there when Jesus came. What was their religion about? Well, they was always wanting to kill somebody for committing adultery, for picking corn on the Sabbath, for healing a sick person on the Sabbath. They just had, I mean, they was all about enforcing the law, making sure everybody kept the law. That's all it meant to them. No love, no mercy, no truth, no compassion. It was just all that. Kind of like the Muslims over there, you know. You can be as ungodly and wicked as you can be and be a law keeper. Christ is the end of all that. Put an end to it. Because He's the end of the law. The law all pointed to Him. It wasn't about all that. It was about pointing to what Christ was going to do for mankind. And then we got, in our day, we've got people that says he ain't done nothing. We're all sinners and He didn't deliver us. And the only way we're ever going to get free is die. What a shame. People that believe that don't know Christ. Just put that down and remember that somebody told you that. Because when we face God, you're going to find out that I told you the truth. If people don't believe that Jesus delivers from sin and makes you a new creature and makes you able to live holy and righteous, they don't know Him. Their religion is behind a veil, and they can't see, and they don't understand. Consider how hard it was, and still is, for the Jew, or for any person who tries to understand God and salvation through the veil. The Old Testament had to have been very confusing for them, because it talked about a Messiah that would be a man, yet He'd be God Himself. Well, that would confuse you if you didn't have any understanding. The first thing you'd say, well, now listen, that's a contradiction in the Bible right there. He can't be God and man. I mean, He's either a man or He's God. But He wasn't. He was man and He was God. The law talked about that He would suffer and yet He would reign. Well, how can that be? See? When you're looking at these things through a veil, that's where all these skeptics and atheists and naysayers that write editorials and write books, and they have all through the ages criticizing and denying the Lord and finding errors in the Bible and contradictions. That's what's wrong with them. They don't see what the born again person sees, because it's behind the veil from them. They're blind. They don't see. I realized that a long time ago. You know, people that want to criticize and deny and argue and all that. I just figured out I know some things that they don't know. When I got saved, I got to starting to understand some things that they don't understand. I know things they don't know. And you do too if you're saved. If you know the Lord, you understand some things that they don't know. So pity them. They're blind. They're in the dark. They're behind a curtain and they don't even know it. They say they see, but they don't see. The law said that He would die, but that He would live forever. Wow. Said He's a mighty prince and a king and a conqueror, but He's a man of sorrows. and a humble servant. Well, you see how easy it was for them to get confused about it all. And all these prophecies about him were true, and they were consistent, but they weren't understandable until you view them in the light of Christ. Then the veil's taken away. The poor disciples, the very ones that Jesus one-on-one taught for 3 years. They lived with him. They heard him every day. They saw him. He had the words of life. They said so many things that made you think that they really understood who he was. But they didn't. They didn't. Their minds, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. That's why the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom when Christ died on the cross. That means it's don't have to worry about that veil anymore. You can see right into the Holy of Holies. Everybody can who can see. No Jewish priest or prophet could speak with the clarity that we have now of the plan of God's redemption. They just couldn't understand. John the Baptist was the first to lift the veil by proclaiming Christ to the Jews. He told them that day, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." What a thrill that had to have been. All those years of waiting. But in due time, God sent forth his Son. Acts 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant or unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What made the difference? They were ignorant and unlearned men, but they were saying things crystal clear. They were making things understood that nobody had understood. How were they able to do that? Because they had been with Jesus. That's why. He's the end of the law. He's the key that unlocks it. He's the one that removes the veil. Knowing him, understanding who he is, believing who he is, unlocks it for you. It opens your eyes. He came to give sight to the blind. That's what he did. To let the prisoner go free. John chapter 7 and verse 46. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Remember that? They come to take him and they fell backwards. And they wouldn't take him. Those soldiers came to take him. And they come back empty handed. And they said, "Well, you also believe?" And they said, "Never man spake like this man. We ain't ever heard anybody talk like this. Say these things." He can make you understand. Acts 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, the eunuch, Jesus. The eunuch couldn't understand. He's reading Isaiah chapter 53. Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man show me?" He was behind the veil. And Philip just opened the veil for him by preaching to him Jesus out of the same scriptures. Get that, man. That's important. That's what we're talking about tonight. Those scriptures, they couldn't understand because of the veil. But Jesus removes the veil. He started at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And the eunuch understood.
Yes, sir.
Jesus did the same for the Emmaus disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 16. I really like this. I like Luke chapter 24 about the Emmaus disciples because it's really wonderful. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Jesus had been crucified. He's dead. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, trying to figure out what in the world, how did this happen? See, there's still a veil there. They don't know what in the world. They thought he was the one. Now he's dead. He told them plainly, they're going to crucify me, but I'm going to rise the third day. I'm going to live again. He told them plainly, didn't he? Straight out. And they didn't get it. They didn't understand. Somebody that's behind the veil, you can tell them just as plain as you can tell them. And they won't understand. That's why that we fail when we try to do it with human reasoning and we plan it all out and we make it as clear as we can and we try to cover every base so that we can make them understand. We cannot make them understand. God has to open their understanding. We got to get them to Jesus. If we can get them to look to Jesus, the real Jesus, and believe in Him for who He really is, they will understand. And that's the only way. Our logic, reasoning, our arguments, and our, you know, all of that, and our evidence, presenting them the evidence, and showing them how wonderful it is to be saved, and that's never going to cause them to understand. Now, they might want to join up with us because it looks pretty good. I'd like being part of that crowd. Yes, sir. We can do that. But to get them to understand about the Lord and the truth and salvation and eternity, ain't no way they can understand unless they know Jesus Christ. So anyway, here we are in Luke chapter 24, down in verse 25. Then He said unto them, that now Jesus has encountered them, see. They don't know it's Jesus. They didn't recognize Him. These are one, two of the disciples. They didn't know who He was. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into His glory? See, even Jesus is, He's kind of scolding them, saying, how is it that you don't understand? Why in the world don't you understand? You're slow of heart. Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. He did the same thing, see? He just pointed them to Himself. And it's Him standing there talking to them, but they don't know Him because they can't see. They're blinded still. They've known Him for 3 years here. Well, intimately, daily with Him. They didn't even know who they're talking to here. And they drew nigh unto the village after whither they went. And He made as though He would have gone further. Oh, there's so much preaching in this. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. And the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures? Their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And then they began to understand, say. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Verse 17. Where we started reading 2 Corinthians. There's liberty to proclaim the message of redemption with great clarity. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the message will be made clear. Because the Spirit of the Lord, now what did Jesus say the Spirit of God was going to do when He comes? When, you know, Jesus said, I'll send the Spirit, the Comforter, when He comes. He said He will speak of me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He don't make you fall on the floor and roll around and speak in tongues and swing off light fixtures and bark like a dog or nothing like that. The Spirit don't make you do stuff like that. The Spirit of God doesn't make you get happy. That's not what the Spirit of God does. What does the Spirit of God do? Well, he comforts, he reproves, and the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. He makes it real. He makes the Word of God real. That's what that means. He makes it alive. But the Spirit of God always speaks of Jesus. Spirit of God, when He's working, He'll be pointing you to Jesus. He'll be exalting Jesus. He'll be lifting Him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. See where we're missing it? We're everybody's writing books and writing blogs and that, you know, telling everybody and explaining everything and trying to get people to understand, and they can't understand because they don't know Jesus. What we need to do is just preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If we want to win people, if we want people to understand, we got to get them to Him. Getting them to us ain't going to get them to understand. That's right. Very important right there. The liberty. Liberty to proclaim the message of Christ with great clarity. So if the Spirit is empowering us, we're going to be able to do what they did in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost and other days after that. With great power gave the apostles witness of Christ. That's who they preached. That was the subject of every message. They told the history of Israel and all the law and all of that, and brought it right up to Jesus Christ, whom God sent and you crucified. And they understood. And thousands of them got saved. There was liberty because the Spirit of God came. Now when the Spirit of God gets among us, it'll be the same way. The preaching will have power. And when it's all done, people will be thinking about Jesus. They won't be thinking about what a wonderful church this is. Oh, what a great bunch of people this is. I'm telling you, what a wonderful time we had in church this morning. Oh, boy. Won't be thinking about it. You'll be thinking about it. Like the preacher got up. Somebody said, the first preacher got up and they said, wow, what a preacher. Second preacher got up and they said, what a Lord. That was the difference, see. There's liberty to see the glory of God in a fullness that's not permitted to those who have to look through a veil. There's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You can see clearly. There's liberty to enter in to the holiest of all. The justice, the mercy, the grace, and the love of God are obscured by the veil, but made wonderfully visible and real in Christ. This is just so much truth right here. Justice and mercy and grace and love, that's what's missing out of these religions. Muslims, Jews, Independent Baptists, you know. Just same deal. When you get mean, ornery people that are arrogant and proud and hateful and mean to people and hating people, you got religion. If they're religious, it's because they're behind the veil. They're not able to see through the veil. They're not seeing. You get to Jesus, you won't be like that. You just won't be like that. Sin, then, that we have such hope. We use great plainness of speech. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We have no excuse for trying to understand or explain God with dead religion and rituals and laws. We have a living Savior who came and walked among us and took away the veil from our face. Just like a bridegroom lifts the veil on his bride on their wedding day. You see the picture there? It's what Christ did for us, His bride, so that we can see Him clearly. We can see clearly now, and so we have a clear message to proclaim. Let me read this verse and we'll quit. Matthew 13, verse 16, 17. Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see." How about that? "And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, but have not heard them." See? It's a wonderful thing that the veil is taken away, and that you can see clearly. If you know the Lord, if you know Jesus Christ, you understand. Now it's a growing process. You understand more and more and more. You can't take it all at once. Ain't no way. He can download everything to us all at once. We can't take it. We gotta eat it just like we eat our meals. We gotta take it in just like we do our meals. What if it was just like, "Here's your food for your lifetime, now eat it right now. That's all you get." Wouldn't work, would it? No, the way we get understanding is the same way. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how we do it. That's how it happens. And your understanding grows and matures and until you come to the stature of the fullness, of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I hope you understand. I read something this morning. It was one of these old-timers, and he's right. The older I get, the more I really understand how few there are that really know the Lord. So I look back through my life at all the people I've known and at my own life and how it's progressed and everything, and I just stand in amazement. Why? Why is it that some go the right way and some just meander off? Some hang around the right way all their life, but they never get in. They just stay. Well, it's real simple. Same reason the Jews had the veil, the hardness of their hearts. You got to care. You know, I preached on the hardness of hearts here two or three years ago, and that's what I said about it. A hard heart just does not care about anybody, anything. It just don't care. And you got to care. What about the fact that God sent His Son to die for you? What about the fact that He's the end of all the law? I mean, He was what God was pointing to through thousands of years, through the law and the sacrifices and all of that. It was all about Him. Jesus told the Pharisees, He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of Me." It's all about Him. Now they can't understand that because they refuse Him. And they reject Him and hang on to their Scriptures. And it's just dead religion. It's death to them. And they don't understand. And they're in darkness. And it's not just the Jews. It's people that sit in Baptist churches too. Do the same thing. Same thing. Nobody teaches anymore. They don't teach the Bible. They have their programs and their activities and their youth groups and their singings and their concerts and all of their junk. And none of them even understand a thing about the Bible. I mean, you talk about meeting Baptist preachers here recently who don't even know the basic things in the Bible. How are you going to know Jesus when you don't know anything about His Word? You got to know. It's all Scripture is profitable. It's given by inspiration, and it is profitable. So we ought to study all the Scripture, and the preachers ought to preach all the Scripture. So they're preaching in Leviticus. It's about Jesus. That's why. It's important. helps us. Amen. Well, stand with me. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll go on. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth we've looked at here tonight. And help us, Father, to be thankful if we do understand. If we can go to bed tonight and rejoice in the fact that we know you. Through your word. And the Spirit's given us liberty there. Then we ought to rejoice and thank God. And Lord, those that just don't know what I'm talking about, Lord, I pray that you'd stir their hearts to care. Soften their hearts, Lord, toward the Word of God and the things of God that they would be able to receive. And to find you and to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.